mano atoye ye na duma na mobiliti kiye.
The impressive voice of Salif Keita, the singer from Mali and West Africa, announced his retirement recently. His music will endure, though, as will his advocacy on behalf of people with albinism. Salif is one of them, and he's widely recognized for opening up the discussion in Africa and around the world. Salif Keita's got allies elsewhere in Africa, too, who've joined this fight in their own way, people like Thando Hopa. She's a lawyer and activist from South Africa and now a model, the first person with albinism ever to appear on a Vogue cover, specifically this month's Vogue Portugal edition dedicated to the diversity of African beauty. Thando Hopa joins us now. Hi, Thando.
Hi, Marco.
My first question actually is not from me, but from a social worker and black woman with albinism from Chicago. Her name is Brandy Marie, and she was really stoked to see you on the cover of Vogue Portugal, and she has a question for you. I'll let her start.
I got really emotional because I just haven't seen myself. Like, growing up, I didn't see myself. I looked through these magazines wanting to see myself represented, and I never did. And I am wondering about how it felt to be in the beauty space and to be called beautiful after growing up and hearing that you were not beautiful or teased, and then sort of how you process that.
Thando Hopa, how do you answer that?
I think, you know, when I grew up, I grew up having parents who were absolutely wonderful, who told me that I was beautiful all the time. But then, you know, when I went into society and I looked at the media space, I wasn't represented with respect to what was portrayed as beautiful. So I started developing inadequacy as I really had a relationship with society. It took quite a while for me to understand beauty in terms of me just being me, in terms of me accepting that my eyebrows are pale, my eyelashes are pale, that my hair is curly and blonde as opposed to curly and black, you know. I had to go into the modeling industry understanding that my purpose was to focus on representation and saying that the way I look is enough, whether I am on a Vogue cover or not. To be quite honest, when I saw that, when I saw myself on a Vogue cover, I felt more relief than happiness, to be honest.
Relief how?
In that I had gone through so many battles. And a lot of the times when you're going through all of these nuanced battles with respect to representation, when you actually kind of get there, more than anything, you just feel relief that, you know what, I've managed to do this representation to the best of my ability, my way.
I know you've probably told this story many times by now, but maybe one more time if you could share it with us. How did you go from lawyer and activist to being a model?
I was a prosecutor, and I used to prosecute in sexual offense cases. And what happened is I decided to take a sabbatical, but I had already started my modeling career at the time. I went into it as a platform of representation.
So modeling was activism for you, is activism. How did the industry, the modeling industry, respond to a woman with albinism who is also an activist for albinism?
I started experiencing a great deal of boxing and stereotyping. It was a constant narrative of, you know, prejudice in Africa. And it wasn't that the narrative was not significant or important, it's that it became an all-consuming narrative, and it started almost chipping away at my complete humanity, in that I had experiences that people just did not consider important anymore. I was only the story.
Did you ever think about maybe modeling isn't the way to do this kind of activism?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I think it was one of the best ways, because media was a negotiating medium. It helped negotiate a new narrative with respect to anything, really, and albinism was one of them. So I started learning how to kind of harness a more complete identity with respect to how people see albinism using media through the modeling space.
And then how did this Vogue cover come about?
I received an email from Portugal. They said that it's a cover opportunity. And I thought to myself, cover? I didn't believe it, to be honest with you. And then I went to my mother and I said to her, I'm like, I received an email and it said that it wants to to do this particular thing, and they wanted to talk about my work as a diversity advocate. And she said, oh my gosh, do you know there's this human trafficking stuff that's going on? What if these people want to take you to Cape Town and, you know, they're trying to traffic you?
Wow.
And I said to her, and you know, like literally that's how far-fetched the thought was. And we kind of had to do a lot of due diligence to believe it.
Mm. Where was it shot?
It was shot in Cape Town.
Mm.
I actually brought some of my family jewelry that was very Southern African, because it was, representation is very multifaceted. Yes, there is the woman with albinism, but there's the Southern African Xhosa Sotho woman. And I kind of wanted to do my best to bring sort of everybody with me the best way I could.
Speaking of identity, Tando, I've really been wanting to ask you this question since I learned about your story. Mm-hmm. South Africa, known for apartheid, a government policy that separated whites from blacks for years in society. What did that do mm-hmm. to your own understanding of who you are?
Oh, that's a very intense question. The interesting thing I've learned is race is an institution that really was bred from a figment of somebody's imagination, but had very real consequences, consequences that lived beyond color. Because I am a black woman that still experiences the consequences of what race is, and I don't have the color. But I learned something being in this body. The issue isn't racism, isn't patriarchy, isn't issues with respect to albinism. The issue is that we have a behavioral defect with how we deal with difference.
When do you think, Tando, it won't be a big deal anymore for a person with albinism to be on a cover of Vogue or any fashion magazine, when it's just a model on the cover and she just happens to have albinism?
It's a very difficult question to answer, because I think right now we're getting to a point where people are celebrating firsts quite a lot. You know, you're the first woman to do this. You're the first black person to do that. You're the first person with albinism to do that. You're the first otherly abled person to do this. Firsts are usually kind of a point of progress. The more you kind of get frequency of representation, the more you'll be able to normalize something that is considered extraordinary. Probably frequency would help a lot, because the frequency would kind of not make it a deviance. It would make it a normalization. We kind of need to start setting values that allow for that kind of progress and diversity and inclusion.
Well, Tando Hopa, the photographs with this first in Vogue are gorgeous, and in no small part because of your presence. So keep on keeping on.
Thank you.